You're listening to the Fit Mom Podcast, and I'm your host, Marisa Tully.
And me, Ash Iovino. Our biggest passion is helping ambitious moms like you channel the same drive you bring to your work and family into your own well-being.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Cycle syncing, your favorite topic. It's finally here.
Yeah, it's a topic that gets my back up quite a bit. I think there's been so much hype around it, especially on social media. And again, it's preying on like vulnerable women and desperate women, because I think they think it's kind of like, oh, if I do that, then finally all my dreams will come true in terms of like body goals. But again, it's just another, it's not science backed, it's not evidence based, and it's actually going to do you more harm than good. But let's just start from the beginning before I get too angry.
What is your
what is cycle syncing?
You feel like
I feel like I
syncing.
could just.
You feel the same as how I feel about Ozempic. I get like really heated about the whole GLP-1 movement. So.
Yeah, it's like I was talking about quite a heated topic the other day, and I didn't realize that I was really like emotionally charged. And the person was like, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. But why the rage? I was like, am I raging? And they were like, well, sort of. It's like, oh, obviously it's something that like, it really, yeah, it gets my back up. And cycle syncing is the same. So basically, cycle syncing is adapting your training according to where you are in your cycle. And it really is the rage at the moment. And it's a complete fad. Basically, it's saying for certain phases, you should either bring your training back. So go for gentle walks or do yoga. And for and then there's certain weeks where you will have more energy and you'll be able to push harder, work harder, and get better results. But the problem with it is that there are 2 out of 4 weeks in your cycle where it tells you to pull back, which is half the month. So if you are following a structured strength training program and for 2 weeks out of four, every single month, you are completely dialing back according to where you think you are in your cycle, your progress is going to be very limited, if not stalled, because, I mean, yeah, and I think also the bottom line is that everyone's cycle is different, and a lot of months your cycle is also not consistent. So if you're going to do your training according to something that's not really that reliable as well, it really isn't going to do you any favors, especially if you really are now like on a weight loss or strength gaining journey. It's going to take so much longer than it should, and you really aren't going to see the results that you could get if you actually just listened to your body.
Yeah.
So let's also, now that there's like an understanding of what is like, I think it's quite important for both of us to give our personal experience on this, being a woman, having gone through quite a few different phases in our lives already. So what's your experience with your cycle and your training?
Quick 30-second interruption. We get asked all the time about trustworthy creatine brands. So here's your reminder. For our South African ladies, we're proud partners with wellam.co.za, who offer a wide range of high-quality supplements from probiotics and superfood blends to protein bars and even organic superfood mixes that your little ones will love in their smoothies. Simply use CEO FitMom, all caps, for 15% off at checkout. And for our ladies in the UK or anywhere else in the world, just be sure to choose a reputable brand that offers pure creatine monohydrate, the golden standard for results. All right, back to today's episode. So my cycle, okay, so I've never, the only time, just to go way back, because I love talking about hormones, I was on the pill for a year, maybe 2 years, 19, 20, as a contraceptive. And it was the worst thing. My body did not react very well to it. We do in our family have quite a history with, hormones not being in our favor. And certain symptoms and side effects. So, and what I didn't touch on last week, which was I didn't say in our conversation about weight loss and our backgrounds that for me it's really hard to lose weight. It's very easy to pick up weight, and I'm not talking about a lot. I'm talking about 3 to 5 kgs. Easy to pick up, very hard for me to lose.
I'm
So
the same as you, hey? Like easy to pick up. Can pick it up in
very.
a weekend.
And I've done exactly, and we know a lot of that's water, but and because of strength training, we know now how, not,
That's our secret weapon.
exactly, that is, and also that the scale is just a mind fuck, so it doesn't work for us.
Language, Marisa.
But I'm the editor, I can, if I really have the energy, I can edit that one out. My mom always hates it when she hears me swear on, because she's our only listener. Okay, back to the pull was really damaging. To put it in perspective, my boobs, okay, doesn't count really now postpartum and post breastfeeding, but they're now like they're more or less mostly like 34B.
A
And
handful, a nice
yeah,
handful.
not anymore, actually. Fuck. Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I'm swearing so much today. It's the A, I think. It's understand now
It's
why
the
all the.
rage.
That's the rage, you've eaten me. Anyways, when I was on the pill, no jokes, I got my I got what's it measured in the UK when I was living there. I was a 32 double D. Like that doesn't even make sense.
Yes.
So obviously, okay, that's gonna
What
sound
pill are you on? I need to go on this pill.
so. Yeah, we should start selling that. I did put on 8 kgs at the same time. It was really, really like a lot of belly weight as well. I used to hate the fact that my boobs were big. I hated it. Anyways, but it was also one of those tests that they do that they like go really into detail. I mean, where do you get like a double D? It was double D, so anyways. So that was the pill, then went off the pill, took ages for me. Hormonally, I only started getting really comfortable in my body when I realized how damaging mentally and physically sugar was for me and not eating more balanced. So yes, I figured out the strength training thing and it helped me with recompositioning of my body. It helped me with being a better runner. It helped me in all other areas, but the food aspect huge on my hormones. So now again I'm in such a odd like phase now, and I'm very gentle towards myself because I'm 16 months postpartum, but in general I know that my luteal phase is very, very downer. I'm a very positive person, very very energetic, as you'll know. I'm hardly one to be able to sit still and not do a hell of a lot on my to-do list and household chores and be mom and etc. I often can't switch that off. But when I'm in my luteal phase, the post ovulation, I am quite depressed and I'm really don't want to see
Just a week
people.
before your period.
Yeah. And I don't want to see people. And I am very tired, very fatigued. So I can feel that progesterone, which is really high. I can feel it instantly. Now I know. Like it took me years. I mean, to be honest, I only got really into like further research when I wanted to fall pregnant and I was 36, turning 37, and I was, a bit paranoid that I've got geriatric ovaries. And then I really started to realize that I do need to go gentler in those periods. But like you and I discussed privately, what I did realize is I don't preempt it because if I do, that luteal phase is quite long and that will impact a lot of my workouts, and then that will impact my mental health because I haven't had like proper workouts in. I don't feel good, but I do realize that the type of workouts might change. So it might be a stretching and core session and definitely not something that's high intensity. Or in that same week, I might feel I actually need fresh air and a long run. I need like proper breathing, running, no concentration to follow a program. I just need to go.
Completely.
So it differs, but I do know that that's the one area of my cycle that I'm a bit more conscious about. And then obviously also when I've got my period, I've been known to have very bad period pains. I used to pop a Myprodol very easily at the same time as I did with hangovers. I used to take it every time religiously on my cycle. How freaking scary is that? What we did to our guts. And then that was early 20s. And then as I got more aware and worked within the wellness space for quite some time, I changed to Panados, and it did help to a certain extent. Sometimes, of course, it doesn't. And I know I've got a lot of friends who've got like debilitating cramps, but mine's not debilitating that I can't move, but it is really affecting me. So on the first day or on the second day of my period, it does generally impact my period, my workouts, but not all the time. So again, I can't preempt what to do on those days.
Yeah, no, I mean, you basically, we are one in the same, Like
As per
literally the
usual.
week, like especially, this last month of my cycle, the week before my period, I was down, I was flat, I was demotivated. I felt like it was literally already the end of the year, burnt out, like I am absolutely done. And I know a lot of it was linked to my cycle and a lot of linked to what's going on at work, and in my private life. But that week before, I do know, and it's actually, I don't know if it's because the older you get, the wiser you get, the more in tune you get, or if it's just more marked. I'm not sure. I can't work it out, but I'm very, very aware of that week before. And like you said, for me, a long run to just get out, get away from people, to just breathe fresh air, nature, endorphins. Listen to either uplifting music or not, nothing at all, and just go to like almost lift my spirits a bit. And then also the first day of my period is I do get debilitating cramps, but again, I used to just be like default mode Myprodol. I don't now. So I ride it out, and I do exercise on the day of my period, even though sometimes I don't feel like it, but it's for the endorphins so that I don't have to take a painkiller. And I don't like, I don't, and again, I don't, if I'm okay to go harder, I will, but if I have to pull back, I will, but I always move on the first day of my period because it's the only way that I can actually get through the cramps.
No, I was going to say, like, as you said, everything's a blur because I didn't have my period for 2 years. So I did actually have, so it does feel quite blur, but I did have bad cramps. I think it's just bad because I've got a lot of friends with PCOS. And so theirs is way worse. But mine, mine did affect, look, I take it back. What I can recall is it was really bad. And obviously, I didn't have mine because of breastfeeding for so long. But yeah. It did impact my training.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line is that we are so pro listening to your body. Be in tune with your body, but I'm not pro training according to where you think you are in your cycle. Or like I am ovulating, like maybe you're not ovulating now. Like you don't know. I mean, one out of three of my children, I was definitely not ovulating according to my cycle. And I've now got an 8-year-old. So don't think that your cycle is what you think it is all the time. It's inconsistent, and it's so hard to also slap women with this, okay, you must train according to your cycle, when everyone's cycle is so different.
I
And
think.
like mine might be 28 days, yours might be 32. Some people, I know the older you get, some people's cycles get less, like 21 days. God, a period every 3 weeks. But another thing that I also just wanted to say is that it really, the cycle syncing narrative on social media, it really preys on like a woman's desire for like control and clarity, because it's saying to you that like your body is complicated and your hormones are all over the show, but here's a plan based on your cycle. This is the missing piece that that you haven't quite figured out, but now here it is. So it makes them feel like a sense of relief, but actually it's just selling this like illusion of control in a space where women have been made to feel like really already all over the show, confused, disempowered. Do you know what I mean?
Totally, but that is the problem though, because we are complicated and cycle is complicated. Like you say, ovulation, so
Exactly.
funny. I've had this conversation with friends literally in the past week because we couldn't figure out, like, fell pregnant, couldn't figure out when she's ovulating. Anyway, so I feel like that is all of us, especially when it comes to hormones, and we've gone through, it feels like my puberty was the other day. But yeah, I'm going to Cape Town for my 20-year reunion, but all of that is still sitting with me of like the struggles I had and the previous like younger version of me, that I still default mode is to find something that's a quick solution and understanding
Totally.
for my hormones, because no one who does have the answers.
But that's the whole thing, is that I want to be here, this space. I want it to be the space where we dispel. There is no one thing. It's like we suddenly talk about creatine and then everyone's like, oh my God, it's creatine. That's what I needed to do. We talk about electrolytes and it's like, Ash, when do I have the electrolytes? Is this what's going to now save me? Then it's like cycle thinking, oh, no wonder I've just been training wrong my whole life. And now at 40, I'm going to now start training even. I'm going to halve my volume because of what this app says or whatever. But it's creating a dependence on like apps and coaches and other systems on cycle syncing coaches who aren't then like claiming to know your body better than you do, instead of letting you tap into your body and seeing how you feel on the day.
But this is where the hard part is. How many of the ladies that we coach one-on-one, who are CEO of Fit Bombs, who are high achievers, who are go, 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 who don't even themselves know really about what's going on in their bodies, because they are the type of people, a lot of them, and so am I and you, is we almost need, this is going to sound really bad, but I need a doctor to tell me I need to be on bed rest before I feel guilt-free. Oh, this is what I need to do. And a lot of the ladies that we work with are exactly the same.
Go,
So
go, go.
it's so hard for them to really know when to slow down. Whether they slow down, is that something they can do guilt-free? Are they, you know, stalling their progress? Like, why are they not getting results? And then it almost does that opposite effect where it's like always in the extremes of over-exercising, over-action and doing minimal
And
sleep.
blocking out the noise of your body because it doesn't actually work according to your busy work schedule.
Yes. And then the other thing is, as well, is all of us have been on the unfitter or the sick side and have had to get back into routine and get back into fitness. And we know how hard that is. So many of us are trying to prevent that by making sure that we never go backwards. And that is where we almost disguise, you know, what is really happening in our bodies, and we crash and we burn. Like, I've had conversations with a lot of women in stressful job positions where it has to reach the point of burnout before they stop, and only then do they reevaluate
Totally.
things.
No, completely. It's almost like we're talking about two completely different groups of people. So there's, yes, the Ash and Marie's is go, 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 go until you burn out. But then there's the group who are just desperate to lose weight because they've tried everything. They can't be consistent for even 2 weeks, and then they cotton onto cycle syncing, and it just they just start. Then they think they were going backwards. They go even further backwards because it creates a barrier. It creates more of a barrier to training. If you can't even be consistent, say like two workouts a week you start with, and you can't even do that consistently for a month, and then a coach says to you, oh, it's because you need to now train according to your cycle. So then you're doing two workouts a week for a month, but even then you're only actually only doing one because you can't be consistent. And then for 2 weeks out of 4 weeks, you then told to lie on your back and breathe. So it's almost like these two different groups.
I feel like it would work really well if I'm back in my Cape Town space with, and I really don't mean this in a super judgmental way, but there is a type of body type as an aesthetic that, you know, you can do your bar classes genetically. Most of the time you very, you know, benefit, what do you call it?
Gifted.
Blessed, yeah.
Blessed.
And you can get away with taking like periods of off and just doing your yoga class, just doing your Pilates classes, and nothing too strenuous, and then maybe pushing a bit and lifting a bit of weights. But are we really lifting weights? And are we really doing, we're not doing progressive overload, and we by no means following a program that's going to get us to muscle growth. That's like, that's a different, that's where we are in. And there you can benefit. There you, but the Stacey
Or
Sims,
maybe not benefit, but not
no, for now.
you're not desperate
You don't need to
to
do anything
create
this
any
week.
change. Like, but the problem is that these genetically blessed people then stand in their crop tops on social media and make everyone else feel shit and say the reason they look like they do is because of cycle syncing and bar. It's like, no, your mom was a supermodel in 1984. Not 1984, 1964. Now you've got the genes. So it's not that. But then the poor person who is desperate, because women are desperate and vulnerable and confused, signs up and starts doing it. And then they come to us and say, I've been doing cycle syncing for 6 months and I've gained 10 kgs. Why? Oh.
Oh, it's such a sensitive space to be in because, yeah, we are vulnerable beings. Another topic was in cycle syncing and just following where you're at hormonally, which makes things quite difficult, is a lot of our ladies are on contraceptives, birth control, Mirena,
Yeah,
and that
tricky one.
impacts totally. So this was interesting. I saw that a study showed that 45 to 75% of Mirena users still ovulate. And excuse my ignorance. And of course, fact check this afterwards. But I did not realize that. I thought, of course, because it's a contraceptive, you don't ovulate, but you still can ovulate. Some women don't. But 45 to 75%, that's really high. Again, fact check this. I can re reference this one that I
But then where
found.
does the air go?
So no, so these are, I knew you were gonna ask that.
I'm like literally picturing it. Because I suppose you don't have a lining that's building up.
So yes, well done. And second one.
But then I'm still thinking if you're still ovulating, the egg's gonna still come out. I would be pregnant with triplets.
Yeah, see. No, so it was one was about the cervical lining, and the other one was that your cervical mucus, sorry, is really thick, so the sperm can't get to where it's supposed to. It can't get up there. So, and then there was a list that was really long. But anyways, again, this is, I mean, how do you even know where do you start if you're on the Mirena to figure out when you're ovulating? Do you have to pee on a ovulation stick every single day? And I mean, me having gone through
No.
it, I do not trust the app for like making sure that you fall pregnant or don't fall pregnant. And I also don't trust those sticks because when I fell pregnant and I was using the sticks, I fell pregnant during a time that I thought I wasn't ovulating because the sticks didn't accurately give me the right test lines. So yes, that is very difficult, but ways that if you're really interested, whether you are on a contraceptive or whether you still get your period or whether you're perimenopause or menopause, which a lot of our ladies are, things that you can still do is like tracking your daily symptoms, of course. So there are apps out there. I've used Clue before. I think Clue and Flow are two big ones. But it's just really, in general, really nice to have when you're tracking those symptoms. It's nice to have answers. So, yes, don't change your workup, but it can give you insight as to why you weren't able to lift the same
Totally.
weights as you were last week. Because a lot of the ladies we work with are so hard on themselves. One of the girls told me this week, like, she's really, really down because she's just not able to do what she was able to do like a week ago.
But
So,
then that, yeah, it's
yeah, so
completely.
tracking your symptoms, again, tracking cervical mucus, those sorts of things, basal body temperature. I mean, this all gives me proper throwbacks to when trying to conceive. But yeah, there are ways, but I think that the easier one would be to just generally track your symptoms over the course of a few
Yes.
months and then to go back with these apps and then just have some answers as to know what's going on with your bodies. But because you do not menstruate doesn't mean that you don't have the hormonal fluctuations. You just don't
Totally.
have it as intensely as someone who is not on the contraceptive.
I have friends who are on the Mirena and they'll say like, oh, I think it's like ovulation now because I'm feeling this, or I think I would be having my period now, or so it is much
Which,
harder.
yeah.
But maybe to actually how you feel then.
Exactly. And then something, what I also found interesting, I was listening to the Diary of a CEO podcast with Stacey Sims and all the other doctors. And
The four ladies.
yeah, I really liked where they touched
The whiny
on.
woman thing.
No.
Did you listen to the whiny woman thing?
No. What do you want to
So I
say?
think one of the, sorry to interrupt you, one of the doctors, there's like a delay here, was saying that a woman came into when she, I think she was training, and had all these symptoms. She was, I think she was menopausal,
Yeah.
and but the symptoms like are really real, like. And then I think it just actually resulted in her being properly like depressed because A, no one's listening to you and you feel like you're going mad. And the doctor who was male, she presented all of the symptoms of this woman to the male doctor who she was obviously like reporting to or training under. And he said, oh, it's just, I think she said a WW. And she said, what is that? He said, no, it's a whiny woman. So basically women who come in mid-40s, they've got all these symptoms, clearly very common, all of the symptoms we know about from peri and perimenopause and menopause, and just basically wrote off and said, no, there's nothing we can do for her. She's a WW. Just
That's
make her think that like we're
shocking.
listening. And
No, that's
so that's quite
shocking.
hectic. Yeah.
No, what I was going to touch on was just more also with perimenopause and menopause was just how the importance of mobility. And I know all our ladies have got like warm-ups, warm-downs on their programs, but a lot of them are not following it. Before every single workout. And of course, with age and even where I'm at, I can feel again when I'm in my luteal phase, how much my body craves that. And sometimes when I think I'm not going to do a strength training workout, I'm do a, you know, start off with dynamic stretches, just in my mind thinking I'm going to get some blood flow going and just stretch out what my body needs. And then I progress into a workout because I actually feel like, okay, now I can do that. So a lot of the times you just need a little bit of like tender love, not distractions of your phones because you are in a more emotional state when you are in your luteal phase or in certain phases in your cycle. So, you know, being on social media before workout is just not going to work because that bounce back of being able to get off the app and have the energy to then work out, it's near impossible during certain phases, because we get hit so hard emotionally.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that with this year. One of my New Year's resolutions, new year, new me, was to do yoga every week, and I've stuck to it. You know, I've blocked it out of my calendar. I do not ever miss it. And I get to that day that of yoga, and I'm literally craving it. Like I walk into that room and I breathe the biggest sigh of relief, and I just, that is when I truly, truly just surrender and tap into it, and my body, I know my body's thanking me for it. And it's, yeah, it's just, I love it.
I miss that so much. I used to do yoga very, I started at a very young age when it was quite frowned upon. I was like 13 or 14 and I did it for 6 years with my mom. It was like our thing that we did on Mondays, the best day that you could do it. And then I went on to do it, yeah, like once a week or
Love it.
so. But now, of course, living up here, I just don't get the chance to. So, because where do I find yoga here? I can't go to Planet Fitness.
Do they do yoga in Podge? There's an opportunity.
Exactly. But
Okay.
anyways,
Oh,
yeah, I feel like we
knocked over my mouth.
smooth. So is that how you finishing? Okay, out, throw the
Give up.
mic
Give up.
down. Yeah, I think this is definitely a conversation to be continued. I think anyone that's listening can send
Definitely.
through their questions because I know we get so many on them on a weekly basis from the girls that we work with. And then maybe our next episode we can actually just answer the cues.
Phase two should be preying on the menopausal woman and telling them that they need a menopause protein shake, menopause creatine, menopause workouts. You don't. You
Got
just need
it.
a plan. But it's again, you're vulnerable, you're desperate, you're emotional, you're probably depressed and sleep deprived. Boom, perfect recipe.
Who was I talking to? Someone was, I think it was Rocco. He asked me something and he went, no, but I want the quick fix. And I couldn't stop laughing. And he goes, don't tell me this ingredients, this product, this thing. Just tell me once. Oh, he's going into silly season. He wants to know what he can do to support his liver. So I said to him, add
Not
some.
drink.
Well, we know that's not going to happen. So I said, add some turmeric to your smoothies, more things for liver detoxification, blueberries. He literally looked at me. He's like, no, a pill, like Essentials. Do you rate Essentials? I'm like,
He wants one pill.
yeah. I'm like, oh, you're so easy.
Milk thistle. There you go,
Milk
Rocco.
thistle.
Is
I used to
he
take that.
listening? Milk thistle.
Milk thistle. I had to
Was
listen.
that, did you used to take milk thistle in your London days with your double D boobs?
No, I used to take milk thistle in my Cape Town wellness days when I also used to take like religiously like activated charcoal before I had alcohol and green tea tablets and what else? Listen, like that
Yeah,
wellness
I've done the
warehouse.
activated charcoal as well.
That one's still fine, but green tea tablets. I mean, there was even a tablet that would help with water retention. The shit that I was like influenced into, because I was also in a space of girls where, and it still is in those groups. It's like it's such a big fatty weight loss, really want to be Victoria's Secret skinny type of environment.
Injection in your bum, milk thistle and green tea tablet. There you go. You weigh 40 kgs.
Oh gosh. Anyways.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Chat to you soon.
Chat soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Fit Mom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to us if you could subscribe, rate, and share this episode with a fellow ambitious Fit Mom. Chat soon.